Take your Bibles tonight, Judges chapter 12. Remember last week we had the story of Jephthah, who was sort of drafted into a leadership position, and he took the army of Gilead and led them against the Ammonites, and they had been under oppression for 18 years. And Jephthah led that army and gave them victory. The Bible says that he smote Amnon with a very great slaughter, and that Amnon was subdued before the children of Israel. We also talked briefly last week about the misplaced vow that Jephthah made right before he went into battle, where he said, "God, if you'll give me victory, then I promise I will offer as a burnt sacrifice the first thing that comes out of my house when I get home." And his daughter was the first one that came out of his house. And I mentioned last week, I believe he offered her as a burnt sacrifice to the Lord. Now, chapter 12 is sort of a postscript to the story of Jephthah, sort of the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. So look at verse 1. "And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Amnon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thy house upon thee with fire." So here's the picture. And again, I will remind you that Jephthah was of the tribe of Manasseh, the half-tribe of Manasseh that had their possessions on the west side of Jordan. Okay? And Ephraim comes, and so they gathered, the men of Ephraim gathered together. They travel to Mizpah, which is west of Jordan. It's north of where they were, but they also had to go west. And they have a quarrel with Jephthah. In fact, what they said was, "Why did you go fight and didn't invite us to come? Why would you leave us out?" And they were so upset, they said to him, "We're going to burn your house down with you in it. We're going to burn your house with you in it." Now again, Jephthah was of the tribe of Manasseh, again, the part of that tribe that took their inheritance west of Jordan. You remember when Moses and the Israelites came to that country that the king of King Sihon and King Og came out against them, and they warred against them and defeated them, and the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh saw that land. They say, "Hey, this land's good for cattle. We have a lot of cattle. Moses, can we have this land?" And Moses says, "I'll give you the land only if you'll cross the Jordan River with the rest of the tribes, help them get their inheritance, and then if you do that, you can have the land. If you don't do that, you can't have it. You got to go with us." And so they agreed to that, and under Joshua, they did that, and Joshua gave them leave to go back west of Jordan and take their possession. But it seems to be that there is a unique jealousy between these two tribes, the tribe of Manasseh and the tribe of Ephraim. You remember they were both, Ephraim and Manasseh were both sons of Joseph. They were born to Joseph while he was in Egypt. And you remember the story. By the way, Manasseh was the oldest son, Ephraim was the youngest. And you remember the story when Joseph brought his two boys to his father, Jacob, or Israel, after God changed his name, and wanted his father to bless his sons. And so the Bible says he brought Manasseh toward Jacob's right hand, because he was the oldest, and he brought Ephraim to Jacob's left hand, because he was the youngest. And when Jacob put his hands on the boy's head, he crossed them. And he gave sort of the firstborn blessing to the youngest, Ephraim. And again, you remember, Jacob was the youngest between he and Esau, and he sort of stole and got, I think got from God actually, the firstborn blessing. And so he did that same thing when he blessed these two boys. And from that point, Ephraim was probably the most prominent of the two tribes. It was certainly the largest. Most of the time, it was the largest of those two tribes. Now, Judah was bigger than any of them, but of those two tribes, Ephraim was always the most prominent tribe, and they were a jealous tribe, because you remember, if you remember the story of Gideon, the same thing happened. Gideon was of the tribe of Manasseh, the half-tribe that was on the east side of Jordan. And you remember God, Gideon raised an army of, they were fighting the Midianites. Gideon raised an army of 32,000 men. God said, you got too many, we got to whittle us down. He told everybody he was afraid to go home, 22,000 went home. He said, still got too many, you got 10,000, take them down to the creek. Let's watch how they drink. And you remember everybody that that used their hand to scoop up water to their mouth, God said, they're the ones that are in the army. There were only 300 of them, and they went and won a great victory against the Midianites. But Ephraim wasn't invited then either. And in Judges chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, and the men of Ephraim said unto him, Gideon, why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. So this is the second time it happened. Second time this tribe of Manasseh, who again was the oldest of the two sons, that they gone into battle without calling their brother tribe, so to speak, the tribe of Ephraim. And so they were more upset with Jephthah, because I think it was the second time, than they were with Gideon. The Bible says they chided with Gideon sharply, but they came to Jephthah and said, man, we're so upset with you, we're going to burn your house down with you in it. Now, I'll tell you that their pride resulted in this quarrel, because they were jealous. They said, why should the tribe of Manasseh get all the glory? Why should we not get any of it? They thought they were missing out on some of the glory, of the fame that went along with winning this battle. And so they were mad at the two generals for not inviting them to go along so that they could get some of this glory. Now, the Bible says, who can stand before envy? The Bible also says that a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contention among brethren are as the bars of a castle. In other words, when brethren fight with one another and quarrel with one another, it's a bad testimony to those people that are around them, and it causes friction that is not easily healed. Now, I want to point out to you that their quarrel with Jephthah was foolish. I mean, it was not justified. Who was it that called Jephthah into the war? It was the part of the tribe of Manasseh called Gilead. I mean, they'd already raised an army. They needed a leader. And so they sent to Jephthah, you remember, who had been exiled by his brothers. And they said, Jephthah, you're the guy we want. Come back and lead our army. And so the army was already raised. He had no authority to call Ephraim, because that was not his charge. That was not what the tribe of Manasseh asked him to do. They said, we got an army. We need a leader. You're the guy. Take our men and go fight. And that's exactly what he did. Now, if he had failed, if he had lost against the Ammonites, then Ephraim may have a point and said, hey, if you would have called us, you would have won. But they won. And so they had no cause, no justification to be angry with Jephthah. And the fact that they got together and traveled a great distance and made this threat against him, said, hey, because you didn't call us, we're going to burn your house down with you in it. I mean, here was a guy that had won a great victory for the whole nation, won a great victory for not only his tribe Manasseh, but for the tribe of Ephraim and every other tribe in Israel. And they should have came and said, thank you, you've saved us from this oppressing people. I mean, he was also a guy that was mourning the loss of his daughter. And they, I mean, if they should have done anything, it should have been to console him and to try to bring comfort to him. But they came with this threat, hey, because you didn't call us, we're going to burn your house down with you in it. Now, again, let me just quickly say, there should be no jealousy among God's people. If God uses somebody else to do something good for him, we ought to rejoice. We ought to say, praise the Lord. Hey, we're on the same side. And the glory doesn't go to us anyway. It goes to God. And Jephthah's going to tell him in a minute, it wasn't me that did it. It was God that did it. Sometimes we if we're not careful, we get jealous of how God's using other people. There needs to be none of that between brethren. We're on the same side. We have the same objective, to carry out the will of God and the plan of God and bring his kingdom to this earth. And so whoever he uses, we praise him and thank him for doing that. Okay, look at verse 2. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. Oh, now the story gets deepened. Jephthah said, just a minute. I called you, and nobody came. By the way, when Gideon raised his army, he didn't send invitations to anybody. Ephraim could have come. And if you remember when we talked about that, they were probably saved some embarrassment when they didn't come, because when Gideon asked the question, who's afraid, all of them probably would have went home. Well, here's Jephthah saying, hey, I called, and nobody came. Because you see, Jephthah was a little bit different than Gideon. You remember what Gideon did when Ephraim came to him? You know, they didn't get called at the beginning, but when Gideon had the Midianites on the run, he called for Ephraim and said, hey, come and help me. They're starting to scatter. I need you to help me, you know, make sure they don't escape. And Ephraim at that time captured two of the princes of Midian. And so when they came, when Ephraim came to Gideon and said, why didn't you call us when you went? Gideon said, well, what you did is better than what I did. I mean, you captured the princes of Midian. What did I do in comparison to you? And he sort of appeased the Ephraimites. Jephthah, I think, knew at this point they could not be appeased. He said, look, I called you, and none of you came. And let me go ahead and read verse 3. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me? He said, when you didn't come and help me, I decided to go and fight anyway. And by the way, the results weren't certain. Remember we talked about last week, Jephthah had gone to God and rehearsed all the words before God and basically said, God, if you don't go with us, we're not going to go. But the results still weren't certain. He said, we put our lives in our hands. I mean, we put our lives at risk. I mean, we could have been killed. We could have been defeated. And we did that because we were fighting for God and we were fighting for our families. And by the way, we were fighting for your families as well. And it was God that gave us the victory. None of the glory goes to me. None of the glory goes to Gilead. None of the glory goes to the tribe of Manasseh. All the glory goes to God because God's the one that did it. And so why are you coming to fight against me? I haven't done you wrong. I asked you to come. You didn't come. And so why should you come up and pick this fight with me? So look at verse 4. Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. So not only did they chide with Jephthah, they insulted the whole tribe, at least the half-tribe of Manasseh that lived west of Jordan. They said, you guys really don't belong to the Israel anyway. You're living over here on the other side of the river. You're fugitives. I mean, you're not part of the family. You remember, and you remember when Joshua sent Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh back home after they'd taken the promised land? You remember what they did? They built an altar. They called it Ed. Ed, they called it Ed. They built an altar. And Joshua and the leaders at east of Jordan, they got all upset. He said, well, you're building an altar. You're going to offer sacrifices on it. And they sent some men to talk to him about it. And they said, no. We're not going to offer sacrifices. If we offer sacrifices, we'll come to where the altar is in the tabernacle. We're building this altar for the future. Because in the future, some of your children might say, well, you guys are on the other side of the river. You don't belong to us. We want that altar that's made after the altar that's in the tabernacle so that they can see that we are still part of the nation of Israel. And so the Ephraimites said, oh, you guys are just fugitives. You don't really belong to the family. And so Jephthah gathered the men of Gilead, and they fought against Ephraim. And let me read verses 5 and 6. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so when those Ephraimites, which were escaped, said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto them, art thou an Ephraimite? And if he say nay, then said they unto him, say now Shibboleth. And he said Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan, and there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. So the Ephraimites come. They say to Jephthah, you didn't ask us to come. We're going to burn your house down with you in it. And by the way, your whole half-tribe over here, you don't really belong to us. You're just fugitives. You're outcasts. You're not part of the nation of Israel anyway. So Jephthah and Gilead, the people of Gilead, they rise up. They go into battle with Ephraim, and they beat them. I mean, they beat them. And as some of the men of Ephraim are trying to escape, now to escape, they got to go back toward their home. They got to cross Jordan. They got to go east to cross Jordan. Well, the Gileadites knew where to ford the river, and so they placed guards wherever you could cross the river. And when an Ephraimite came and said, hey, we want to go across, they said, are you an Ephraimite? And they would say, no. Now just think about it. They had come with pride to kill Jephthah, because, hey, we're of the tribe of Ephraim. We're the blessed one of the two. You should have called us when you went. And now they're at the point they won't even admit that they belong to that tribe because they know they're going to be killed if they do. So they lie and say, oh, no, I'm not of that tribe. Well, apparently over the years, in their way of speaking, there was some syllables that they could not pronounce. And so they had this test. They said, if you're not of Ephraim, we want you to say the word Shibboleth. And when they tried to say it, they basically could not pronounce the H. And they said Sibboleth. And those of Gilead said, oh, you're of the tribe of Ephraim. Killed them. And notice what it says. 42,000. Again, sometimes when the Bible uses these numbers, we just read over them real quick and we don't think about them. 42,000 Israelites, 42,000 of their brother tribe, 42,000 men were killed in the battle, and including those that tried to escape across the river, all because of their pride. That's why the Bible says pride goeth before the fall. Pride's a terrible thing. Verse 7, and Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then died Jephthah the Gileadite and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. Now, let me just run down the other judges real quick as I finish up. Othniel reigned 40 years. Ehud reigned 80 years. Deborah, 40 years. Gideon, 40 years. Now, Abimelech was an outlier. You know, he's the guy that sort of appointed himself and killed all Gideon's sons. And he only judged Israel for 3 years, but he's the outlier. Tola, 23 years. Jair, 22 years. Jephthah, 6 years. Of all the judges that we've talked about, he has the shortest reign. And I was thinking about that last night as I was studying. I said, well, I wonder why. I think he was brokenhearted over his daughter. I think when he had to sacrifice his daughter, that just sapped him of everything that he had. And that's why he only lasted 6 years. Now, let's finish up the chapter real quick. And after him, Ibzan, Bethlehem, judged Israel. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. Think about that. I was talking to my mom about this today. Man, can you imagine the family reunions, Brother Wayne? 30 sons and 30 daughters. It says there, whom he sent abroad and took in 30 daughters from abroad for his sons, and he judged Israel 7 years. Then died Ibzan and was buried at Bethlehem. Again, it doesn't say, but I assume that he had more than one wife to have 30 sons and 30 daughters. I just can't imagine 60 kids. You know, my mom and I just played some April Fool's jokes on Monday. We called my brother. You know, he's getting a little lazy. Instead of taking the garbage out to the garbage can, he's just piling it in the garage in plastic bags. So I called him up Monday and I said, "Tim, does Dad have any rat traps?" He said, "What do you mean rat traps?" I said, "Rat, you know, traps you trap rats in." He said, "Why do you need a rat trap?" I said, "Well, because somebody's leaving the garbage outside the door and there's all sorts of rats getting in here eating up the garbage." He said, there's rats coming in there?" I said, "Yeah, there's rats coming in here eating this garbage." And he started telling me where I could get some. And I handed my phone to my mom, and she says, "April Fool." Oh, he was all upset. And then I called Adam. We called Adam. I said, "Adam, Grandma wants to know if there's any condos up there that's available for sale up there close to you." And he said, "Well, why?" And I said, "Well, she wants to sell her house and move up there across the street from you." And he said, "Well, I can see it now. It's just going to be like Everybody Loves Raymond. Grandma's going to be living across the street, coming into the house all the time. I'm not going to have any peace." So I said, "Well, did anybody?" And then I handed my phone to my mom, and she says, "April Fool." So I got back on the phone. I said, "Well, did anybody else play an April Fool trick on you?" And he said, "Well, yeah, Chantel told me she was pregnant." I said, "Oh." I said, "Is she?" You know, I was excited. "I'm ready for another one." He said, "No, no, 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 no." I said, "Okay." So I forgot where I was. 30 sons, 30 daughters. Okay. And now, verses 11 and 12. "And after him, Elon, a Zebulite, judged Israel." Oh, by the way, Ibzan was of the tribe of Judah. Okay. And Elon, the Zebulite, died and was buried in Ajalon in the country of Zebulun. So he was of the tribe of Zebulun. Then verse 13, "And after him, Abdon, the son of Hilai, a Perlite, judged Israel. And he had 40 sons and 30 nephews." 40 sons, 30 nephews. "And that rode on 70 ass colts, and he judged Israel 8 years. And Abdon, the son of Hillah, the Perite, died and was buried in Pirathon in the land of Ephraim." So he was an Ephraimite. So you can see that God is using the different tribes to pick judges from. He's sort of spreading them around so that he's picking a judge from different tribes to rule and to deliver his people. But after he dies, we're going to start next week in chapter 13, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord." And next week we'll start the story of Samson. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Good to have everybody here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.